There's a fascinating discussion found in the Piskei Tshuva, not to be confused with the Piskei Tshuvos, but the Piskei Tshuva by Rav Avraham Pshukovsky. And he describes that one time it was Shavuos, and he wanted to eat Malchei Chalav, he wanted to eat dairy. But it hadn't been 6 hours yet since he had last eaten Fleishiks. And he had heard that on Shavuos one's able to be Mekel and not wait the full 6 hours. So he asked his grandfather, Rabbeinu Zakeini Zatzal, and his grandfather told him, if you took a nap in the afternoon, so then you're allowed to eat the dairy food. You don't have to wait a full 6 hours. And I heard from my uncle, he explained, Rav Dov Beresh Mibiala, and he also permitted a person who woke up in the morning to have tea mixed with milk, even if 6 hours hadn't passed. And my uncle must have heard this from his father, who was my grandfather. And this was the Kabbalah they had. Now, the Piskei Tshuva doesn't provide an explanation. But the simple understanding, and it's found in the Chassam Sofer as well, is because since when a person sleeps, the metabolism works faster, the rest of the body is shut down, so it allows the digestive system to work faster, so you don't need the full 6 hours to wait between fleishiks and milchiks. It's brought down in the Sefer Zichron LeMoshe, which records a number of the hanhagos of the Chassam Sofer, that he also paskin in such a way that a person is able to wait less than 6 hours if he naps in between. So the Chassam Sofer paskin this way for himself. And one morning he was preparing some coffee and milk, and he spilled the coffee and milk, and he understood that this was a siman from Shemayim, that this is not the way to paskin shilas, and he said one must wait 6 hours regardless, even if one were to sleep in between. And Rav Sternbach brings this discussion and says, the Chassam Sofer says we shouldn't have anything less than 6 hours. That's why paskin, the sleeping doesn't change anything. That's the Psak Halacha. He does ask a side question as to how could the Chassam Sofer rely on a siman min Shemayim? Don't we say Loba Shemayimi? The Gemara Bava Metzia tells us even if the water moves and the trees are uprooted and the walls fall over, Loba Shemayimi. If the post can decide a certain way, that's the decision. So if the Chassam Sofer decided, and he was the Gadol HaDor, that one's allowed to have milk after the 6 hour after the nap, so who cares that his coffee spilled over? We don't acknowledge Shemayim min Shemayim. So Rav Sternbach explains it must be that the Chassam Sofer took this as a simon that maybe he should be ma'ayin into the sugya better. And so the Chassam Sofer was ma'ayin into the sugya, and he found out that in fact he was incorrect in his psak. He says similarly, there's a discussion once the Vilna Gaon wanted to reinstate Birchas Kohanim every single day, even Chutz La'aretz. We know in Eretz Yisrael that they say Birchas Kohanim every single day, and the Sfardim in Chutz La'aretz say Birchas Kohanim every single day, but the Ashkenazim don't. And the Grad learned the Sugga, and he felt that even the Ashkenazim should reinstate Birchas Kohanim every single day. So he had decided that in Vilna and his shul, they're going to start Birchas Kohanim the very next day. So that evening, he was taken to jail, and the Grad took this as a simon min Shemayim that he shouldn't reinstate it, he should leave things as is. So Rav Yisrael Salanter asked, how could the Gra take a siman min Shemayim? If the Vilna Gaon, the God of Hador, decided that there's going to be Birchas Kohanim, who cares about any simanim? Lo b'Shemayim. So Rav Sternbach explains that, no, this was a siman to the Gra, that he should be me'ayin into the sugya before making a decision. He should me'ayin further. And the Gra looked back into the sugya, supposedly, and he decided that he was incorrect in the psak, and not because of the siman. The siman just told him to look inside, but he decided on his own. Like the Chassam Sofer decided on their own, based on the sugya, rehashing the sugya, that they should paskin otherwise. But from this conversation, everybody agrees that napping will not change the 6 hour wait. You have to wait the full 6 hours. But I want to discuss a little bit, what was that discussion? What was the thought that the Chassam Sofer had, that the Piskei Tshuva had, that sleep perhaps might change everything? I know I explained because of the digestive system moving faster, but I want to take another angle as to perhaps why it's possible, why there's a discussion that sleeping maybe can change the weight between milchiks and fleishiks. So let's take a step back and understand the nature of sleep, how Halacha views the nature of sleep. There's a Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Zayin Beis which tells us that there are five things, Chamisha, that Echa Mishishim. There are five things in the world that are 1/60th of something. For example, Esh, fire, is 1/60 of Gehenna. Devash, honey, is 1/60 of Mon. Shabbos is 1/60 of Olam Haba. Chalom, a dream, is 1/60 of Nevuah. And Shena, sleep, is 1/60 of Misa. When a person sleeps each night, there's a certain level of Misa that that person experiences. So the Marsha has two pshatim here to this relationship of 1/60. The first pshat is 1/60 is dafka, meaning when a person sleeps, one part of him is dead, and the other 59 parts are alive. So we know in general you need echad b'shishim, you need 1/60 for there to be bittel. Bittel b'shishim is 1/60. So for example, if milk falls into a chulin pot, so if there's 60 amount of chulin to the milk, so the milk is bittel, and you could eat the chulin, it's completely fleishiks. But if it's 1/59, so then there's some milk, there's some dairy in there. So the Marsha says, since it's one Misa, to 59 Nechai, that there's a certain level of Misa a person experiences. But then the Marsha says, maybe one of 60 is Lav Dafka. It really means one to a much larger number. And even though a certain part of the body is mace when he sleeps, since so much more, let's just say 100 times the person is alive, that Misa is considered batal. It's considered as if it's not even there. So in essence, what Marsha is raising in the following chakira, when a person is sleeping, is a person completely chai? Is he completely alive? Or is he to a certain extent Misa? He's a miktas mace. So let's just raise it very simply. Is a person sleeping, is he kemes, or is he kechai? How do we view such an individual? This chakira comes out very clearly from an interesting machlokus in the Rishonim as to why we wash negavasar every single morning. We know when we wake up in the morning, we wash our hands in netilas yadayim. So the Mishnah Berurah brings the two basic reasons brought down by the Rishonim why we wash hands. The first opinion is that of the Rush. The Rush says that yadayim shel adam askani yoseim. Our hands are very busy. And when we're sleeping, our hands are busy touching parts of the body that are very dirty. And then therefore, in the morning, we must wash our hands so that they're clean. But the Rashba says no. The reason why we wash our hands in the morning is because each and every morning we're bria chadasha. We're recreated. Our neshama is taken away from us each evening, and it's returned back to us in the morning. That means become a bria chadasha. And when you're bria chadasha, you have to wash your hands as you're a newborn baby, a newborn child, and you're going to serve a Kadosh Baruch. So according to the Rashba, he understands that there's a certain level of Misa that took place at nighttime, and there's a recreation, a Bria Chadasha, in the morning. So the Rashba assumes there was a mace, there's a Misa, and the Rosh assumes, no, the guy's alive. We only wash your hands because the hands are Yadayim Askan Yosem. So we take this understanding of this Chakira throughout Shas, whether or not it's a mace or Chai, we have a number of very interesting Nafgamina. What would the halacha be if a person was mazik something while he's sleeping? Is a person who's yashin, a person who's sleeping, is he responsible for any damage he might cause? So there's a first mission in Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Chaf Vav Amin Aleph, where it says, Adam Muad Li'olam. A person is always considered Muad. He's always comfortable, he's always trained to destroy, and therefore he's responsible for any damage. And the Mishnah goes on to explain, Bein b'shogig, Bein b'meizit. Whether the person did this on purpose, whether he did it accidentally, he's chayv in all nezikin he causes. Mishnah add, Bein er, Bein yashen. Whether he's awake or even when he's sleeping, the individual is responsible for all nezikin. So the simple pshat of the Mishnah is, when a person's sleeping, he's considered chay, he's considered alive. And therefore he's chayv for all nezikin while he's sleeping. But if you look through the poskim, take a look at the Tosas there, and others as well, I don't want to get too involved, but let's say that's only true, if some poskim say, if he went to sleep and there were kalim, there were dishes on his bed, on his mattress, that were in arm's reach. So he went to sleep. That was negligent for him going to sleep. That's irresponsible. But let's say Reuven goes to sleep, and before he goes to sleep, he checks around his mattress, his bed, his room, and there's no dishes, there are no utensils that can be broken. So he goes to sleep completely fine. And while he's sleeping, Shimon comes along and puts some dishes on his bed, on his mattress. Is Reuven responsible in that case to pay for the damages? So it appears to be machlokas between Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam whether in that case he's responsible. So how do you understand that? So if you understand a person is alive while he's sleeping, he's chai while he's sleeping, so then he should be responsible to pay for the nezik, and even if someone put them near him, he in the lemaisa, he stretched his hands and he caused the damage. But if you assume a person when he's sleeping, he's kamei stami. So then, if a person puts dishes next to him while he's sleeping and he has no idea about this, he's kameis, and therefore he should be completely potter from paying the damages. What about is a person chayiv in mitzvahs? Is a person mekayim mitzvahs? Is he mechayiv in mitzvahs while he's sleeping? So there's a halacha in Hilchos Tzitzis. The Shulchan Aruch says that mutar likanes b'tzitzis the beis hakiseh. A person is allowed to enter into a bathroom while wearing tzitzis. This is referring to talis katan. A talis gadol is considered miyuchal l'tfila. We only wear it for tfila, and therefore we don't enter the beis hakiseh with the talis gadol. Similar to a kittel, we also only wear a kittel for that which is miyuchal l'tfila, and therefore we don't enter into a beis hakiseh with the talis gadol. But talis katan, one's allowed to wear talis katan in the beis hakiseh since we walk around all over. We don't only wear a talis katan for tefillah, we wear it wherever we go. We wear it to work, we wear it to walk to eat. So therefore, it's considered allowed to be brought into the beis hakiseh. Rama adds, v'kol shekein l'shachei behem, and certainly one's allowed to sleep in tzitzis as well. If you could walk into a beis hakiseh, certainly you could sleep in them as well. But then the Rama says, some say not to sleep in tzitzis, and the question becomes whether it's a mitzvah bezuyos halav. Is sleeping in tzitzis, is that considered mi mevaza the mitzvahs, or is it not mevaza the mitzvahs? Lamaisa, the Rama writes, Nogin lahakel l'shachibhem, there are those who are lenient to allow one to sleep in them. The Mishnah Berurah says one should dafka sleep in them based on the Arizal, based on Pisod. But part of this conversation is a person mechayiv mitzvahs, is a person mekayim mitzvahs when he's sleeping? Whether there's even an inin to speak about wearing tzitzis or not. And that's part of this conversation. It's interesting to note and keep in mind that the Arizal says one should wear tzitzis during sleeping, because the Arizal, as we'll see the Shitaso, he thinks that a person is alive while sleeping. And that's why he says one should wear tzitzis while he's sleeping. We have other areas where the Acharim discuss the Chiyah of Mitzvahs during sleep. These are of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who writes in Halicha Shlomo that if a person falls asleep somehow accidentally outside the sukkah, it's sukkahs, and we know there's a mitzvah not only to eat and drink in the sukkah, but you also have to sleep in the sukkah. So let's say a person accidentally falls asleep outside. Do you have to wake him up in order to bring him the sukkah, in order to make sure he sleeps in the sukkah? Since a person is putter from mitzvahs while he's sleeping, there is no obligation to wake him up to have him sleep in the sukkah. The chachila, of course, a person should go sleep in the sukkah. But let's say the guy is sitting in the base medrash and he falls asleep in the base medrash, you don't have to wake him up to avoid him from sleeping, because the moment he falls asleep, he's considered putter from performing mitzvahs. Let's say a person falls asleep in the sukkah. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach goes so far to say that once he falls asleep in the sukkah, you're allowed to pick him up and take him out of the sukkah, because again, while he's in the state of Shena, while he is sleeping, there is no chiv of mitzvah. And there's a fascinating discussion in the Tshuvos, Sheilos Tshuvos Pri Yitzchak, Chelek Aleph, Simen Hei, about performing the mitzvah of tefillin while a person is sleeping. So the Gemara tells us that a person is allowed to sleep a shenas harai b'tefillin. We don't sleep at all with tefillin, certainly not shenas keva, and even a shenas harai we don't take naps wearing tefillin. But according to the letter of the law, one is allowed to sleep while take a nap while wearing tefillin. This is the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Chav Vav Amun Aleph. Yoshin Odom shenas harai b'tefillin. So the Rush asks, how is that allowed? We know when a person's wearing tefillin, he has to focus on the tefillin. There's an isser of hesach hadas. So when a person falls asleep, isn't that a clear violation? Isn't he clearly being mesiach daito from the tefillin? To which the Rush answers that no. Mesiach daito of tefillin means we're thinking about something completely off topic. You're thinking about the Yankees, you're thinking about the Mets, you're thinking about something else outside of tefillin. But if you're thinking, if you're not thinking, if you're in the state of neutral, you're not thinking about anything, it's just pariv. A person just falls asleep and takes a nap. He's not thinking about this or that. He's not thinking about film. He's not thinking about Yankees Mets either. He's mamish in the middle, neutral, not thinking about anything, just spacing out. He's misasik. That, says the Rush, is not a violation of Mesiach Daito, and that's why it's permitted. But the Pri Yitzchak explains differently. Pri Yitzchak explains as follows. We know that there's a machlokus in the Gemara, Menachos, and elsewhere, whether or not Shabbos is man tefillin or not. That's a person allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. And we assume Shabbos is lav zman tefillin. We don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. And for that reason, tefillin is lichadchila muksa on Shabbos. If need be, there are, of course, a term to move tefillin. But we assume that tefillin is not the zman of, Shabbos is not the zman of tefillin. Now, there are some exceptions. I had a friend of mine who went to Yerushalayim to have his son put a hanachas tefillin on at the Kosel, and went to get a bracha from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Chaim asked the young bar mitzvah boy, are there any exceptions, or really, when is one allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos? So the answers are there are two. Two examples. One example is the Trumas Hadeshin, but we don't pask in this way. But the Trumas Hadeshin explains, why don't we wear tefillin on Shabbos in general? That the Gemara tells us because we always have two osos, shnei osos, two signs. So the sign that we have is a bris milah. The os bris kodesh is one sign. And during the week we wear tefillin as the second os. On Shabbos, Shabbos itself is an os, so we don't need to wear tefillin on top of that. So we have Shabbos and bris milah. But let's say a person doesn't have a bris milah, whatever the reason might be, so he's missing one of the osos. So then on Shabbos, says the Trumas Hadeshin, that individual has the os of Shabbos, and he's also allowed to wear tefillin as an os of tefillin, since he does not have the os of bris kodesh. That's one explanation when a person may wear tefillin on Shabbos, even though we don't pass in that way. The other one is a clear Gemara in Erevin, which says, let's say a person's walking around on Shabbos, he sees tefillin outside. So the person has to bring the tefillin into a place of safety. He brings them inside. But let's say there's no Erev, so he can't carry them. So what should he do? The Gemara says he should wear the tefillin, put them on. You have to wear items, you can't carry items. So you wear the tefillin, you put them on, and then you carry them, you bring them to a place inside, a place of safety. So the Magen Avraham writes, in such a case where a person is putting tefillin on Shabbos, he has no chiyuv to be mashmesh them, to check them. We know there's an inyan to check the tefillin shayot, you touch the tefillin shayad, touch the tefillin shirosh, to constantly remind us that you're wearing tefillin. To always have focus, not to be meisich daito. But the Magen Avraham says, if a person's wearing them and he's not fulfilling the mitzvah, he's wearing them Shabbos, there's no mitzvah at all to wear tefillin on Shabbos, so there's no chiyuv to touch them, there's no inyan of meisich daito. Just like, let's say, a goy were to wear tefillin, so there's no mitzvah, there's not being a kind of mitzvah, there's no issue of hesach hadas or no hesach hadas, there's no mitzvah to speak of. So it says the Pri Yitzchak, when a person is sleeping, he's not fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin. And since he's not fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin, there's no problem of mesiach daito. And that's why a person is allowed to have a shinas harai. Because the moment he falls asleep, there's a p'tur of tefillin, and there's a p'tur of tefillin. He's not being mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin anymore, so then there's no violation of mesiach daito. So we see clearly from the Pri Yitzchak that one who sleeps is not chayiv in performing the mitzvah of tefillin. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch, let's say you have 10 people as part of a minyan. And the 10th guy falls asleep, so the Mechaber writes in the Hilchos, Birchas HaShachar, Simon Nun Hei, Sivava, that if the guy's sleeping, he could still be mitzarif to the minyan nonetheless. While Pri Chodesh says that's incorrect, and he says you have to wake the guy up, he has to have kavana, he has to be aware of what's going on. So we see there's a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Pri Chodesh, whether or not you could count a person who's sleeping as part of the minyan, and seemingly this depends on whether that person alive is considered kachai or he's considered kimes. We know there's a din in sending karbanos. The person is allowed to bring an animal to the Beis HaMikdash, and the kohen will shecht it and do the hakrava for him. But let's say he's away, so he's allowed to send. He's allowed to send a shliach to bring a behema, to bring a karban on his behalf. So maybe they should be concerned that the moment the Meshalech sent him, by the time the Kohen brings the carbon, maybe the individual, maybe the Meshalech already died, and you can't bring a carbon of a person who's dead. Gemara says, no, there's an assumption that he's Becheskas Kaim, that we assume when he sent it, he was alive, so he's still alive now. We're not Choshish that he died. So but maybe we should be Choshish, he's sleeping. And if he's sleeping, maybe you shouldn't bring the carbon. So Tosis writes, no, if he's sleeping, it's okay. He's allowed to be sleeping. As long as he's alive, but if he's sleeping, you could still bring the carbon. But the Yad Ramah, the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Zayin, this Tosus is found in Sanhedrin Mem Zayin and Alf. That's the Yad Ramah argues on Tosus. He says, no, the Meshalech must be awake when the carbon is being brought on his behalf, as it says in the Pasuk, Lirtso no. He has to be aware, somewhat awake, what this is taking place. So what's the machlokas, whether the individual must be awake when the carbon's being sent or not? Seemingly has to do with whether or not we view a person yashin as being meis, kemeis, or kechaidam. Yaakov Emden in Shelis and Shuvah Shelis Yavet Chelik Beis Simen Tzadi Zayin talks about whether or not a person is Mekai in the Mitzvah Puravu if he's Yashen while being Meshemesh with his wife. If during the Maisa Tashmish, if he's sleeping and his wife becomes pregnant, has he fulfilled the Mitzvah of Puravu? And he assumes that one does not fulfill the Mitzvah if he was Yashen, if he was sleeping during the Maisa Mitzvah. There's a long discussion amongst the poskim about how we view dreams in regards to halacha. There is an Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah, one of the great Rishonim, explains why he named the Sefer an Or Zeruah. Normally we have a tradition going far back in time that the Mechaber hints at, he alludes to his name in the title of the Sefer, sometimes more explicitly than others. However, Rav Yitzchak did not include his name in the title of Or Zeruah. So he tells us why. Because he had a vision, somewhat of a dream or a vision that came to him. He was not sure how to spell the name Akiva. Akiva is spelled Ayin Kuf Yudve. Is that? It's clear. But he wasn't sure if he spelled with a hey or an aleph at the end. And he once had this vision of the pasuk Or Zeruah Latzadik Uli Shelev Simcha. So the Sofer Tevos of those words is Or is Reish as Rebbe. So we're not concerned with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva connects the pasuk of Or Zeruah Latzadik. But Or Zeruah ends with an Ayin. Zeruah Latzadik is a Kuf. Uli Yishrei is a Yud. Lev is a Vez. Simcha Hey. The Sofer Tevos are Ayin, Kuf, Yud, Vez, Hey. And he paskin halach lemaisa that Akiva should be spelled with a Hey in Aksuba, in Gittin, based on this dream, based on this vision. The Smag, the Sefer Mitzvahs of Gadol, written by one of the Rishonim as well, Rav Moshe ben Yaakov, explains in his Akdama that he was had a dream. And in this dream, there was this vision, and the voice he heard was, Hinei shechachtes ha'ikr. You forgot a very fundamental mitzvah when counting the los ases. It says, Hishomer lecha pentishkach es Hashem elokecha, ki lo yabadait lechaveru, because he says, I didn't have in mind lechabro, I didn't have in mind to include it, because I didn't think it was one of the lavim. And the Rama Moser doesn't include it. But when I woke up in the morning, I understood that this dream was telling me I should talk include this los asay of Hishamer lecha pentishkach es Hashem elokecha. And there is a set of tshuvos written by one of the Rishonim, one of the Balei HaTosos, called the Shelos of Tshuvos Min HaShemayim. It's brought down the halacha. The Radbaz and others actually use this sefer to paskin certain shilas. And what's so fascinating about this sefer that's called Shelos and Tshuvos Min HaShemayim? Because the Balei HaTosos, one of the Balei HaTosos, would make a Shelos Cholom. He would request the Kadosh Baruch Hu to answer him through the dream, and he would paskin based on Cholomos. To give you an example, in Simon Gimel of the sefer, he writes, Ana HaMelech HaGadol HaGibah V'Anora HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please HaChocham Merazim, the wisest of all the secrets, Megala Nistaros, who exposes, who reveals the hidden, V'magin elamos, and he tells you that which is hidden. Shomer abris v'chesed. Higdil nachazdecha imanu. Extend your great chesed to us. Hayom today. V'tziva l'machecha kadoshim. Command your angels l'hodiyanu to let us know. As asher nistapaknu, that which we're unclear about. B'sei de parasho shal tefillin. The order of tefillin. In other words, he wants to know between the Machlokas, Rashi, and Rabbeinu Tam, what type of tefillin, what the Seder Parshios are. He wanted to know. He asked the Shelas Cholom what should be. And his response is, he includes in the Sefer, the answer was, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. Both are correct. Both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are correct. Machlokas lemata, kach machlokas lemal. Just like it's debated down in the world we live in, it's also debated in the world in the Yeshiva Shamala as well. And this is how he came out to conclude that they're both true, Elu ve'elu. It's a fascinating tshuva as is regarding Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, but what's even more fascinating is he would pass kinshailas based on a chalom. There's another example found in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says it did in Hilchas Lulav, that person has to, when shaking the lulav, he has to not only shake the lulav that has the hadasim and a revelus attached to it, but he also has to include the esrog in shaking them. They have to be all four medium together. So what's the idea behind this? So the Taz quotes from the Beis Yosef, who quotes from the Rakanti, a sod zed, this secret was revealed to him b'chalom, the first night of Sukkot. One time he was having a guest who was a great chassid from Ashkenaz, whose name was Harav Rav Beinu Yitzchak. And I saw him in the dream that Rav Yitzchak was writing the letter Yud Kei Vav Kei. There's a Yud and a Hey and a Vav. And then very far away was the letter Hey. And I quickly went over in the dream and I erased it and I wrote the name of Hashem properly. I didn't understand what this meant. I didn't understand how to interpret this dream. But the next day I saw Rav Yitzchak was shaking the lulav and hadasim naravos, but he wasn't moving the esrog. The esrog was staying still in his left hand. He was shaking only the right hand of the three minim. And I understood the pshat here because all four minim are correspondent of the four letters of Shem Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and they all have to be connected, be mechaber them, and shake them all together. So because of this dream, the Shulchan Aruch paskin that this is how it should be, that tzarech lechaber her esog lulav b'shas na'nuna. You have to connect them and shake them all together based on a dream. So we have several places, and there are even more places where we paskin shayla based on chalomos. The Shach, however, in a couple of places, in Choshim Mishpat Shin Lamed Gimel, Sifkat and Chafei, and Choshim Mishpat Shin Lamed Vav, Sifkat and Beis, he quotes a phrase from the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Chalomos Lomalin Vlomaridim. The dreams are worthless, they mean nothing to us, and we don't paskin based on dreams. So we have a very, very important machlokas. Do we rely on dream when it comes to Psach Halacha or not? And seemingly part of that conversation is how alive do we view a person while he's sleeping or not? We view the person as being kmeis, so then the dreams he had were up in Shemaim. They're completely divorced from this world, up in Neshama, and we'd say, lo b'shemayim, we don't trust that which goes on in Shemaim. But if we view a person as being kechai, so the dreams he has as a live person, those are considered in this world, and perhaps we can rely on the dreams, legave psak halacha. This also connects to a discussion about sleeping in Rosh Hashanah. The Rama writes that a person is a minag nacho not to sleep in Rosh Hashanah. Yushalmi tells us that man de damecha bereish shasa damecha mazle. A person who's damecha, who's blood, because he acknowledges, the Yushalmi acknowledges that sleeping is kemes, that when a person sleeps in Rosh Hashanah, his whole year is going to be a year of sleep, a year of death, a year of blood. But then the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Arizal, who is very makil after chatzos, you could sleep, it's not a big deal. Why is that? Because the Arizal's l'shitaso, that sleeping is kechai. A person's still alive. So when you're sleeping, it's not kemes. When you're sleeping, a person's still alive. Which is the same reason why the Arizal felt that a person should wear tzitzis when he's sleeping as well. So now this chakir, with all the nafkaminas, whether a person who's sleeping, a person who's yashen, is he kechai or is he kemes, I think goes back to the initial discussion about whether a person, after sleeping, has to wait the full 6 hours from fleishiks, or he doesn't. If you assume that a person is kemes when he sleeps, and when he wakes in the morning, he's a bria chadasha, like the Rashba, so perhaps it's possible to say that you can reset the clock. When he ate meat, it was in a different person, a different creature, and therefore everything's reset moving forward. But if you assume that a person's kechai, so that nothing has changed, then there shouldn't be a havamina at all to end the 6 hours. Now, of course, this concept of a kemes and kabir chadasha can't be taken to the extreme, because that would mean every single morning when he wakes up, he has to remarry his wife. He's dead. Remarries his wife. He dies. Remarries his wife each and every time. We can't go that far, but perhaps this might be a little bit of an understanding as to why a person might be able to end the 6 hour wait if he sleeps in between. Now, if we connect this now to the Bali Musar, how the Bali Musar explained that there are two ways to understand sleep, I think that connects nicely to these two approaches in sleeping as well. We know when it comes to eating and drinking, the Bali Musar speak of that people can eat and drink because they enjoy it. It's a tainug for them. It's a gashmius. That's a world of misa, just enjoying this world, beguf. And sleep is the same way. People love to sleep because they enjoy it. It's just something, another tanug like eating and drinking. It's a world of gashmius. It's the world of misa. But then the other approach is that a person should eat and drink and sleep, so that they should have energy to be able to learn better the next day, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a type of sleeping that's beruchnius, and that's a type of sleep that's bederech chai. But I think you could take a step further in pnimius, that the understanding of sleep could be different. The understanding of sleep is not only sleep in order to regain energy, in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better the next day. It's possible that sleep itself is an avodah to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Rizal writes in the Shar Gigulim that a person, each their 600,000 neshamos, which connect to the 600,000 osios, and the 600,000 ways to learn the Torah. So when a person goes to Gan Eden after Mev Esrim, his neshama is taken to Gan Eden, and he's taught his Derech HaLimud, what connects, what os connects to his neshama. But the Arizal adds, not only when a person goes to Gan Eden after Mev Eshem, but each and every single night, the person is Zoche, where his neshama departs to the Yeshiva Shemala, he learns a certain Derech Halima that connects to his neshama. There's a certain avoda that's taking place during the sleep. And that's why one has to wear tittus. That's why one's allowed to sleep in Rosh Hashanah according to the Arizal, because sleep itself is a certain level of the avoda. The story goes that when the Chassam Sofer was very young, his father understood that his son, Chassam Sofer, had a tremendous, high level neshama. So right before bedtime, he wouldn't tell him nursery rhymes or nursery stories. He would ask a big tzarech in, and then the Chassam Sofer would go to sleep. And oftentimes, he would wake up with a certain teretz on that tzarech in, because the neshama of the Chassam Sofer goes to Yeshiva Shemala and experiences some connection to the Shorish. And every single person as well experiences this to different levels, depending how kadosh and tahar my person might be. Depends on how much he's aware of what's going on, but sleep itself is considered a certain derech avoda. It's what the Gemara says, tzadikim afil b'misasan nikru chayim. A tzadik, even when he's dead, he's still chai. A tzadik, when he's sleeping, he's still considered chai. There's an avoda that's going on when the neshama is learning in the yeshiva shemala. And this very much connects to why we stay up all night in Rosh Hashanah, rather on Shavuos as well. David Melech, he said, chai v'kayim. He was always chai. The Gemara tells us he never slept. He was up, he only slept like a sus, like a horse. He was always staying awake. This inyan of a tzadik is chai v'kayim. A person can reach a level of sleeping and living even while he is sleeping. There's a beautiful Chassam Sofer in Parshas Chayisara where he quotes the Medrash as the Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim were falling asleep. And he wanted to wake them up. So he told them a very interesting Medrash as to how come Esther was Zocha to rule over 127 Medinos, because her great-great-grandmother, Sari Menu, lived for 127 years. So there's a correlation between 127 years to 127 Medinos. And many, many Mepharshim try to explain what's going on. But what the Chassam Sofer explains is as follows. That it says in Eish Eschayil is connected Sari Menu. And it says, Vatakam od Laila, that she got Balaila, she got by nighttime, that Sari Menu lived not only by Yom, but she even lived Balaila, because she went above and beyond. And when a tzadik or tzadikis, her sleeping, her misasan is still kichai, it's still considered alive. But talking about Olai, that she got up at night, meaning she was her neshama was in a high place, even by Laila, so she was Ocha to two lives, the life of the day and the life of the night. That's what means Shnei Chayisara. Shnei doesn't have to mean years, but it means Shnei, two. There are two Chayisaras. Chayisara, Sarah lived two lives, a day life and a night life. And because of that extra life she lived in, that life she lived in, she was mezakeh to her great-great-granddaughter Esther Malka to live, to rule over 127 Medinos. So we know that David HaMelech, as I mentioned before, he slept like a sus. He slept the amount of Neshimos and 60 breaths like a sus. That's all. He'd be up all night learning and saying Tehillim. So David HaMelech, where did he get this ability, this koach, to live by Yom Balayla? So the Zohar tells us that Adam Rishon gave 70 years of his life. Adam Rishon was supposed to live to 1,000 years old, but he lived to 930 because he gave 70 years of his life to David HaMelech. There's another source that the Medrash tells us that the Avos gave him the life, that each of the children of the Avos were supposed to live to the age of their father. So Avram lived to 175, and Yitzchak lived to 180. So Yitzchak surpassed Avram. Fine. So Yitzchak was 180. Yaakov only lived to 147. He fell short 33 years of his father Yitzchak, so 33 years were reserved for David. And then after 147 years, after Yaakov Avinu, Yosef Atzadik, who was also considered to a certain extent an Av, he was the next in line, he only lived to 110 years, falling short 37 years of Yaakov. So the 37 years falling short of Yosef, and the 33 years Yaakov fell short of Yitzchak, 33 plus 37 is 70, so those are another 70 years given to David. So David received 70 years from Adam, 70 years from the Avos, and that gave him the ability, the strength to live both Bayom and Balayla. Now we know that Purim was the second Kabbalah Satara. The first Kabbalah Satara was Shavuos, but then that was Nasa V'Nishma, we were forced to take it, but Hadru Kiblu, we accepted it, Ba'ava, Kimu v'kiblu ba'ava, in the times of Achashverosh. So times of Purim as well was a moment of sleep and waking up. As it says, Nodad Ashnas HaMelech, that the Melech started to wake up from his slumber. To get up and to wake up from that sleep led to a tremendous Yeshua. And the very next point after that, which was led to the 127 Medinos of Esther Malka, of course. So what happened when Ahasuerus woke up, Nadad Shnas HaMelech, the Yeshua came to Mordechai, and Mordechai was placed on which animal? The Sus. The Sus, which represents the animal that doesn't sleep. The Sus that David HaMelech slept like. And it's so fascinating because the Sus, the Gematria of Sus, is 126 plus 1 in Makola, it's 127. So Sus is 127. If you take the letters Bemiloi, the hidden letters, meaning if you spell it Samach, so Samach is spelled Samach Mem Chaf. So the Mem Chaf letters, and then the Vav is spelled Vav Vav, so the hidden Vav, and the final Sus, final Samach is another Samach Mem Chaf. So all the hidden letters together also all add up to 126 plus 1, 127. So what comes out now, Sus is the letters Begiloi is 127, and the letters Benister are also 127, which now represent the Shnei Chai Sara, the days, the years that Sara lived while she was during the daytime, and the hidden years she lived Balaila. And this is the whole Indian. This is the avoda when it comes to a person spending his night. Some people spend the night staying up late and learning and shteiking and davening. And some people, tzaddikim, even when they sleep, their neshama goes to the higher place. So we should all be zocha that we should see that day where all the darkness and the choshech turn to yom, they turn to laila with the gula shlema b'amidas mehera amenu amen v'amen.